We finished up the book of Habakkuk last week, and I hope many of you were able to watch it on live stream. And probably my favorite message of the whole series was the one that we preached last week. Habakkuk came to the end of it all, and he said, "Yet I will rejoice." Through it all, everything that's happened, everything that's going to happen, the captivity of Israel by Babylon, he said, "You know, I'm just going to rejoice." And boy, what an attitude for us to have as well. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to begin a study in the book of Hosea, and looking forward to that as well. And I pray that you'll, I would encourage you this week to read through the book of Hosea. It's only 14 chapters, and you could probably do it in one sitting, but you could definitely do it in a week, and I encourage you to read it and get ready as we're going to begin to study that next week. But tonight I want to bring us here to Proverbs chapter number 3, and I want to preach to us about the subject of true happiness. True happiness. In this age that we live in, this age of nonstop entertainment, it's amazing to look into the book of Proverbs and to see what Solomon wanted his son to consume himself with. It wasn't entertainment. Solomon wanted his son to consume himself with the Word of God, with wisdom. Let's begin in verse 1. We're primarily going to begin in verse number 11 and look from verse number 11 down through verse number 26 tonight. But I want us to read verses 1 through 10, even though we're not necessarily going to look at these tonight. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Verse 2 tells us why he wanted his son to do that. "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." We mentioned this Sunday morning in chapter number 4, in Proverbs chapter number 4. The Solomon is once again, he's telling him, look, the Word of God is going to be your life. The Word of God is your light. The Word of God is going to isn't something that's holding you down. The Word of God is picking you up. The Word of God is giving you life. And that's what he says in chapter 3, verse 2. He says, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." True happiness. Verse 3. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Verse 5 begins a couple of very familiar verses. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him." And what's he going to do? He's going to direct our paths. "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Verse 11 is really where we're going to start tonight. "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord." Well, Pastor, that's not where I want to start tonight. I don't want to start talking about the chastening of the Lord. But he said, son, he said, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. A lot of parents today try to get their kids out of trouble, don't they? Their kids do something wrong, and instead of making their kids take responsibility for what they did, they try to blame maybe a teacher or try to blame some authority figure instead of just saying, hey, son, if you did it, take responsibility for it. And he says here, Solomon says, look, don't despise the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth... What's a great statement. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth. Even as a father, the son in whom He delighteth. In verse 13, here's our text verse tonight. Happy is the man that findeth what? Wisdom. Doesn't say happy is the man that has $1 million in the bank. It doesn't say happy is the man that gets to take a month or 2 month vacation every year. It doesn't say happy is the man that has 3 cars in the garage and a boat in the garage. And the Bible doesn't say that. It says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. The Bible doesn't say happy is the man that has a 5,000 square foot house. Nothing wrong with those things. But that's not where happiness comes from. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Why? Verse 14, for the merchandise of it, and the it there is wisdom. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Let's stop right here and we'll pray. We're going to go down to verse 26 tonight, but let's just stop there and pray, and then we'll get right into the message. I want to give you three truths that we find in these verses tonight, in these 16 verses, and we'll develop those and we'll break those down a little bit. But I want to bring you a message entitled, True Happiness. True Happiness. Let me ask you tonight, and I know I'm preaching to the Wednesday night crowd, but are you happy tonight? Are you truly happy tonight? I'm not asking if all of your circumstances are going well right now, because they're probably not. But we can still be happy in the midst of it. Why? Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Amen. Amanda, it's good to see you tonight. I hope if you haven't seen Amanda tonight, Amanda used to come here as a teenager, her and her brother Greg, and now she has kids. And it's good to see her tonight. I'm so glad that you came. And I hope you get around to see her tonight and make sure you let her know how much you appreciate her being here with us tonight. Let's pray, and then we'll get right into the message tonight. Father, we sure do love you tonight. Father, we're so grateful for your word. Father, we would surely be in a bad way if we did not have your word. Father, your word shows us how to get things right. Father, your word shows us how to come back to you. Father, your word shows us how to keep things right with you. Your word shows us how to stay on the path of righteousness. Father, your word shows us how to deal with money. It shows us how to train children. It gives us the wisdom to be saved, 2 Timothy 3 tells us. And so, Father, tonight we can never, ever diminish the importance and the pricelessness of your word. Father, tonight, true happiness comes when we get wisdom. And Father, we get wisdom from your word. Father, may you remind us of that tonight. I know I probably will tell no one anything new tonight. But Father, I pray that you'll surely remind us of maybe something we already know but have maybe forgotten it, or maybe it has become dull in our memory. Maybe it has become dull in practice, and we haven't practiced it in a long time. Maybe we have stopped mining for true wisdom. Lord, I pray tonight we would go back to that. We'd get back into your word, and we'd study. And Lord, we would mine for it like we would for silver and gold. Father, that's where true happiness lies, because that's where peace comes from. That's where comfort, that's where grace, that's where strength lies. It's in your word. And Father, teach us and remind us of that tonight. Lord, I do pray for the little ones, the children, the teenagers that are next door tonight. Father, please just teach them once again. Father, if there's one here that needs to be saved, Father, I pray that tonight would be their spiritual birthday. I pray that you'd save them tonight. I know you want to. I pray that they would see their need and that they would come to you tonight. We love you, Lord. Help us in these next few moments, and we'll praise you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Number one tonight, let me give us the first thought tonight, the first truth that we see. We see, first of all, the hand of discipline. The first thing we see tonight is the hand of discipline, and we see that in verses 11 and 12. Because sometimes to get wisdom, there has to be discipline involved. Whether it be discipline from a father, discipline from a heavenly father, or just discipline in our lives. The discipline that we talk about being devoted and steadfast, having some discipline in the Word of God. But here it's talking about the discipline of a father, that a father is going to bring, verses 11 and 12. He says, my son, despise not the chastening, that's the discipline of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Look, if we want to have true happiness, sometimes the Lord has to correct us. If we want to have wisdom, and if we want to gain more and more, if we want to find more wisdom and get more understanding, as verse 13 says, look, sometimes the Lord has to discipline. If my children want to get wisdom and get understanding, sometimes they need discipline. Because look, they aren't born understanding how they ought to behave. They're born with a sin nature, aren't they? We know that tonight. They're born little sinners. Well, not my baby. Oh, yes, my baby and your babies, everybody's babies are born as sinners, and they need correction in order to gain wisdom. Because if we don't give them correction, they're going to keep going in the same path of foolishness and wickedness. So we see, first of all, the hand of discipline. A few things about the hand of discipline. First of all, we ought to welcome it. We ought to welcome the hand of discipline. Notice what he says in verse 11, despise not. That means we ought to welcome it. Now, I understand kids don't welcome discipline, do they? When daddy walks in the door in the afternoon, they're not standing there waiting at the door. Daddy, 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 let me tell you what I did today. I'm ready to go stand by the bed and get some discipline. They don't do that, do they? No, if they've been in trouble that day, they're probably back in their bedroom hiding under the bed because they don't want to see daddy. But look, as children of God, as Christians, we ought to welcome the hand of discipline because it gets us back on the right path. Now, it's not necessarily fun. Hebrews 12 tells us that, that it's not joyous. It tells us that discipline is not necessarily joyous, but it is profitable. Hebrews chapter number 12. It's profitable for us. So the hand of discipline, we ought to welcome the hand of discipline. Secondly, we should not weary of it. We should welcome it and we should not weary of it, the Bible says in verse number 11. Neither be weary of His correction. We ought to welcome it and we should not weary of it. Thirdly, it is God's witness to us. We ought to welcome it. We ought not weary of it. It is God's witness to us. What is God witnessing to us when He disciplines us? That He loves us, that He's our Father. What does it say in verse 12? For whom He loveth, for whom He loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the Son in whom He delighteth. So, we ought to welcome it. We should not weary of it because it is God's witness to us. It's the witness, it's the testimony, it's the proof that, hey, you're my child and I love you. And look, I get it. Kids don't understand. I didn't understand that totally when I was a kid. I totally understand it now. Now, I may not have understood it, but it was important that my dad did it because of what the Bible says in verse number 13. Because happy is the man that findeth wisdom. We ought welcome it. We should not weary of it because it is God's witness that He loves us, that He delights in us, that He is our Father. But fourthly, its fruit is wisdom. The hand of discipline, that's what we're talking about. The hand of discipline, we ought to welcome it. He said, despise not. We shouldn't weary at it because it's God's witness to us and because its fruit is wisdom. Those last two, we ought to meditate on those a little bit. Discipline, chastening, is God's witness to us that He loves us, that He delights in us, and that He is our Father. He testifies to us. And again, a child doesn't understand that, but a father is witnessing to his child when he disciplines that, hey, I love you, if it's done properly, if it's done biblically. Son, I love you. Sweetie, I love you. I delight in you. I love you as your father. And because I love you, because I'm your father, I want you to do right. So first of all, we see tonight the hand of discipline. True happiness comes, first of all, with a hand of discipline. When we're doing wrong, we need discipline because its fruit is wisdom. So number one, we see the hand of discipline. Number two, we see the happy discovery. Number one, we see the hand of discipline. Secondly, we see the happy discovery. In verse number 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. The happy discovery. It will be a happy day. Look, it will be a happy day when Christians discover that nothing this world offers compares to the wisdom of God. Nothing compares. Nothing compares to what God gives us in His Word. Because as I mentioned, just even in my prayer just a moment ago, because it's God's Word that shows us how to live this life. Nothing compares to that. God's Word shows us how to handle money. God's Word shows us how to train children. God's Word shows us how to be saved. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul tells Timothy, look, it is the Word of God that made you wise unto salvation. It is the Word of God. Nothing compares to that. Nothing. Look what he says. We've already read verse 14. He says, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. But see, we as human beings and as flesh, well, we have a hard time seeing that sometimes, don't we? Well, man, Pastor, if I had a little silver or gold in my hands right now, that'd be pretty good. You have better than silver and gold in your hands. That's what it says. For the merchandise of wisdom, what we get from wisdom is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days, and we already read that back up in verse number 2, but length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. We were reading in our devotions, I guess it's been maybe a week or two ago now, in one of the devotions it talked about having a happy family. And the guy that was writing this devotion for that day, he said he was preaching somewhere, and he had the opportunity to preach to, I believe it was to the teenagers, maybe it was to all the young people. But he asked all of the young people, and he had them write it down. He asked them several questions. But one of the questions that he asked them was, is your home a happy home? He said, is your home a happy home? And then he said, sometimes, always, never. And he asked these are church kids. He's preaching at a church, and he's asking these church kids, these Sunday school kids, and he's asking, look, I want you to write down, is your home a happy home? Always? Is it always happy? Is it sometimes happy? He said, or is it never happy? And I don't remember the percentages, but he said, I was amazed that church kids, the vast majority of them either said it's never happy or only sometimes happy. Oh, I think the fourth one was very happy. I think it was very happy. He said, I was shocked that the vast majority, there was just a few that said always or very happy. Most of them said never or just sometimes happy. Look at verse 17. Her ways, it's talking about wisdom, that's her. Her ways are ways of what? Pleasantness. And all her paths are peace. And so we're having this devotion, and we look at our three kids. All right, what is it? Very, always, always. Bunch of liars. But boy, that's interesting, isn't it? If kids were away from mom and dad and just honest, how is your home? Is it always happy? Is it very happy? Is it never happy, or is it just sometimes happy? What would they say? And boy, I tell you, that made me think a little bit. Do we make, look, we do our best to try to make our home a happy home. But I thought, man, you know, there are times when we don't make our home a happy home, and it's most of the time it's because of me. Most of the time because daddy's grumpy or something, you know? And boy, that was kind of a dagger to me to think, you know what, I want my kids to leave home one day and say their home was a happy home. I want my kids, when they get married, I want them to come home to our home instead of their spouse's home. Because it's more fun at our, hey, it's more fun at our home. Christmas is better at our house. Vacations are better at our house. Look, I want them to think that. But you know what? It takes work. It takes mom and daddy being happy. It takes mama and daddy listening to the Word of God. Making a pleasant home. Verse 18. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath He established the heavens. By His knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life. This is what we talked about a little bit Sunday morning. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. The happy discovery. If you're taking notes, or even I'm going to give you these seven things real quickly, and then we're going to move on to number three. It will be a happy day when we discover that nothing this world offers compares to, number one, wisdom's goods and wisdom's gain. Wisdom's goods and wisdom's gain, verses 14 and 15. Secondly, not only wisdom's goods and gain, but secondly, wisdom's health and wisdom's honor. Verse number 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Wisdom's goods and gain, wisdom's health and honor. Thirdly, wisdom's pleasantness and peace. Nothing this world can offer compares to what wisdom gives us. That's the happy discovery. And happy we are the day when we discover that. Number four, not only wisdom's goods and gain, health and honor, pleasantness and peace, but number four, wisdom's life and laughter. Wisdom's life and laughter. Verse number 18, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone. Verse number 22 says, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Wisdom's life and laughter. Happy, happy. Now, happy doesn't always mean laughter, but sometimes it should. Ought to be laughter. There ought to be more laughter in our home than there is squabbling and yelling. Amen? There ought to be. Number five, nothing this world has to offer compares to wisdom's goods and gain, her health and honor, her pleasantness and peace, her life and laughter. Number five, her power and her proof. Her power and her proof, verses 19 and 20. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath He established the heavens. That's His power. By His knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. His power and His proof. You never have to question wisdom's power. The proof is all around us. Just look around at creation. His proof of His power is all around us. Number five, His proof and His power. Number six, wisdom's safety and stability. Wisdom's safety and stability. Verse number 23. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not what? Stumble. That's stability. Wisdom, safety, and stability. By the way, look at chapter number 10, if you would, real quickly. Proverbs chapter number 10. And look at verse number 9. The Bible says, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. That word surely there in Proverbs 10 verse number 9, it speaks of stability. It speaks of confidence. It speaks that there's no possibility of falling. He that walketh uprightly walketh in a sure way. Not stumbling, but in a sure way. Wisdom's power and proof, wisdom's goods and gain, wisdom's health and honor, her pleasantness and peace, her life and laughter, her safety and stability. And then finally, and I'll give you three here, her confidence, her comfort, and her courage. Look at verses 24 through 26. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Confidence. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Verse number 24, verse 26, we have confidence, we have courage, and we have comfort. In verses 24 through 26, nothing this world offers compares to the fruit of wisdom. And we only get wisdom from the Word of God. By the way, the Bible tells us, what is the beginning of wisdom? It's the fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know what? It's the fear of the Lord that drives us to His Word. And by the way, that fear, we talk about it all the time, it's reverence. That fear of the Lord drives us to His Word. I need to know what this Word says. I need to study it. I want to stay away from that which is wrong, and I want to cleave to that which is good. God, show me in Your Word. And the fear of the Lord drives us to His Word. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. We see, number one, the hand of discipline. Number two, the happy discovery. The happy discovery, verse number 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Why is it a happy discovery? Because the Bible says in verse 14, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Nothing can compare to her goods and her gain, her health and honor, her pleasantness and peace, her life and laughter, her power and proof, her safety and stability, her confidence, her comfort, and her courage. And then thirdly, we see the hand of discipline, we see the happy discovery, and thirdly, we see the heart of devotion. We see the heart of devotion. Three things here real quick and we're done. I'm going to give you these and we're going to be done tonight. Verse number 13, first of all, we must get wisdom. The heart of devotion. We must get wisdom. Would you look at chapter 2? Let me read this real quickly before we move on. In chapter number 2, he says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Getting wisdom requires what? It requires work. It requires effort. It requires work. It requires devotion. He said, look, son, if thou criest after her, in verse number 3 of chapter 2, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, that takes work. I think I've given this example before, but if our church family, if any of you knew or thought or heard, maybe by rumor, that there was some gold buried in our front yard, I'd probably find some of you there in the middle of the night. What would you be? You'd be digging for. You know what the Bible says? That's how we ought to treat the Word of God. The Bible says there in chapter 2, verse number 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure. You've all watched those westerns where some Wells Fargo delivery has been hijacked, it's been stolen, and they hid it somewhere, and people are trying to find it everywhere. Do we treat the Word of God like that? I would say many times we don't. I would say many times I don't. Because we get our eyes on the gold and the silver, instead of on that, upon that which is more valuable than gold and silver. It's the Word of God. So, the heart of devotion. We must get wisdom, and it takes work. Secondly, we must grab wisdom. Look at verse number 18 of chapter 3. We must grab it. We're talking about the heart of devotion, the hand of discipline. Look, we should welcome discipline because it brings us wisdom. The happy discovery is when we discover that wisdom, that God's Word is more valuable than anything this world has. Nothing in this world compares to it. And then the heart of devotion. Look, if we're going to get that wisdom and if we're going to be happy, it takes some work. Number one, we must get it. Secondly, we must grab it. Look what verse number 18 says. She is a tree of life to them that what? Lay hold. Lay hold upon her. Lay hold. That's the idea of grabbing it. We have to get it. He says, get wisdom in verse number 13. In verse number 18, he says, lay hold upon wisdom. We grab it. We search for it. And then when we find it, we grab it. And we hang on to it. Look, if we're going to get it, we're going to search for it. When we find it, we ought to grab it. And we ought to hold on to it. We ought to keep it. We ought to embrace it. Sometimes we search and we find something that, whoa, I don't like that. And we don't lay fast hold upon it. Hey, listen, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, the heart of devotion. We must get it. We must grab it. Thirdly, we must guard it. Once we've gotten it, once we've laid hold on it and grabbed it, then we have to guard it. We have to guard it. Verse number 18 and verse number 21 again. Verse 21 says, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. That word keep is the idea of guard. That word keep is the idea of a sentinel who walks the guard every night. Who walks guard every night. And that's the idea here. He says, keep sound wisdom and discretion. Are you happy tonight? Is your home happy? If I ask your kids tonight, and I'm not going to let you ask my kids, but if I ask your kids tonight, what would they say? If I gave them a little survey and said, hey, circle, is your home sometimes happy, always happy, never happy, or is your home very happy? What would they circle? It's a good question. That's thought-provoking to me as a father. What is it? Well, I believe it is what it is based upon the place that the Word of God has in our homes. Because when the Word of God has its proper place in our homes, the Bible says in verse number 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. Because we're walking in the Spirit, because we're dying to self, because we know what the Bible says about dying to self and thinking about others before we think about ourselves, as we spoke about Sunday night. True happiness. Don't despise the hand of discipline. Look, welcome it. Don't weary at it. Because it's God's witness to us, and its fruit is wisdom. The happy discovery. It's a great day when we discover verse number 13, that true happiness, it doesn't come from $1 million in the bank. Now, if you have $1 million in the bank, praise God. I'm not against that. But that's not true happiness. True happiness is being able to go home and have a house of pleasantness. See, a lot of men go home every night, and they've got millions, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars in the bank. They go home, and nothing about their home is happy. And they dread going home. They dread spending time with their wives and their children because there's nothing about their home that's happy. But it doesn't have to be that way. Because according to the Word of God, when I find wisdom and when I get it, when I grab it, and when I guard it, it's going to bring pleasantness. It's going to bring health. It's going to bring honor. It's going to bring safety and stability, the heart of devotion. It takes work. It takes work. If we're going to get it, we have to seek it and we have to search for it like silver and gold. The heart of devotion. We must get it, we must grab it, and once we have it, we must guard it. We must be like that sentinel that's keeping guard every night. We got to guard it. We got to guard the Word of God. We got to guard it in our lives. We can't let anything else take its place in our lives. And boy, I'll tell you what, the devil will give us plenty of things to take the place of the Word of God, won't he? He'll give us plenty of things. We can't let that happen. We've got to guard it. True happiness. Father, thank you for what you taught us tonight. Father, thank you for your word. Father, thank you that it is the wisdom for salvation. It's the wisdom for sanctification. It's the wisdom to know how to, again, Father, how to train kids. And it's the wisdom to know how to love our wives and to love our church family and to be selfless and to die to self on a daily basis and to be yielded to the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit and to yield the fruit of the Spirit. Father, it's your word. And Father, I pray that we would get it. We would search for it. We'd seek it like silver and gold. We'd grab, we'd take fast hold, we'd lay fast hold upon it. And then, boy, we would keep it, we would guard it on a daily basis. Help us to do that, Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. Lord, give us safety as we go to our homes. I pray that you be with the van tonight, be with Brother Benny and Brother Nathan. Just give them safety as they take these children home. Father, give every single individual that's on this property tonight, give them safety to their homes tonight. Bring us back together on Sunday, Lord, and we'll thank you for it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed.